But like Danielle said, you know, the Lord has actually prepared this day before us, and I'm still trying to find out why. Because as we were singing, you know, at the cross of Christ, I suddenly understood maybe. You know, because my message this morning is a foolish one. Actually, the word also says, you know, the Bible says it's foolish. And it's going to be foolish and short. Okay, so, you know, because I was just wondering, you know, if you walk down the street and you don't know anything about the Bible or so, and somebody comes walking up to you and says, you know, that about 2,000 years ago there was a man on earth, and you know, they put him on a wooden cross, and you know, he died there, and then they buried him, and then a few days later he was alive again. You know, you probably will say, okay, you know, tell me a more credible story, or tell me something else that I can believe. You know, and then you might go on and say, you know, well, that person was actually God, you know, in human form, and that he actually took, you know, your and my sin upon himself, and if you believe this, then you will be saved and have eternal life. You know, I think most will probably say, that's crazy, you know. He's mal, you know. It's surely, you know, that's a bit of a, you know, a story that, yeah, I don't know, maybe many years ago they would believe something like that. But today in our, you know, modern society with a lot of knowledge and that, you know, that's maybe a little bit, you know, a bit much. And, you know, things like, you know, praying or baptism or, you know, coming to church on a Sunday, that's fine. You know, we can kind of, we are doing something. And, you know, most people will be kind of okay with that. But, or maybe, you know, if you had some miraculous sign or some wonder and a good convincing argument that is very, you know, philosophical or so, you know, people might be convinced. But this story is a bit much, you know. Most people these days will say, you know, give me some scientific proof of that, or, you know, something. Even in the church, we often say, yes, there's some scientific proof that you know, Christ died on the cross, you know, and then we feel like, at least I've got an argument that I can kind of stand. But to just say, you know, he took our sin upon himself, and if you believe and trust in that person, that you'll have eternal life. Now, I want to read this portion in the scripture. It's in 1 Corinthians 1:17, and starting at verse 17, it's Paul saying, you know, there must have been some division there in the Corinthian church there, but in verse 17 it says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom. Let the cross of Christ be emptied of its power." You know, I've also got a lot of ants in my house. I see they're also crawling around here. "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Not enough space here. Paul is starting by saying that he was not called to baptize. That wasn't his principal business. He did baptize a few people, but even many of the apostles actually didn't baptize that many people, because I think probably people would have started arguing, yes, but Paul baptized me, or this guy baptized me, so he is the one that should baptize, and otherwise it's not a proper baptism or something like that. But that's not really what I want to talk about today. I just want to talk about that he says he was called to preach Christ, Christ crucified, and that not with words of wisdom. And that is really what I want to, convey this morning, that, it's not the eloquent speech or the convincing argument that I could come up here this morning and say, you have to believe in the cross because of this and that and the other reason. It's almost as if that's why this sermon is going to be short. there's not much to say. There is just the cross of Christ, and it's almost like it goes above. That's why it's seen as foolishness. To many people, it's when we sang that song, it's really the cross of Christ that is center to everything that's in this word. Without the cross, we can have a lot of eloquent words and trying to convince people that they should believe in this or that, but the it says, therefore, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It's almost as it's unreasonable. It's ridiculous. that this ridiculous thing is the fact that God uses to put to almost to shame man's wisdom. I have found it very difficult, even in my own home, when my children, it's difficult when children ask you a question, about that, this matter, surely, that how can my sin go on Jesus at the cross? And this is very difficult to actually, when you start explaining and you want to start explaining, it's difficult to explain. It is just, in God's infinite wisdom and power, he has used this foolish message almost to, as the center of this word, And I can preach about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I can preach about, the purpose of my life. But without the cross, or even talk about the resurrection of the dead or something, but without the cross, there is no firm foundation for that. That's why the message of the cross is foolishness to those that look at us and say, that was in the past. It's not for now. But even that message hasn't changed. It's still exactly the same that was preached on that first day, when a few thousand people came to Christ. It's still exactly the same. Nothing has actually changed. It's exactly that same message. So I've often wondered, you know, so why do people think it is that foolish? You know, is it because Jesus died as a martyr there? You know, he put his life there for other people, but, you know, it can't be that, because a lot of people have died a martyr's death, and most of them are being actually admired because of it. You know, it's see it a lot in movies, you know, where the guy goes ahead and he's up front there fighting and then dies for the people that he's representing, and everybody looks up to that person, you know. But in this particular instance, you know, actually, this person that's dying there, Jesus Christ, is dying for the people that are actually killing him. You know, it's not for the crowd that's supporting him. There were very few that were supporting him at that moment. So, you know, that it's almost like a different thing here, that he's dying for people that are actually against him, you know. So there's this foolishness appears to be that he's dying as a sacrifice for the sin of those who are actually killing him. You know, it's just the more you think about it, I can understand why people would say, but what you're saying is it doesn't make sense. You know, and on top of that, we say, you know, people can be reconciled or pardoned because of the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. You know, you can be saved, although he wasn't really fighting for you, but you know, if you believe in Jesus Christ, then you can be saved. So, as I said before, you know, many people might say, look, that was a story for back then, but you know, even thinking about that, you know, we can say today, a person coming from Nazareth, dying on a cross, it's a bit of a story that is hard to believe that can save me. But just think about the person at that time, the people at that time. Here's a poor person coming from Nazareth, and he's dying, you know, a death that normally convicts or murderers or so would get, you know. And now a person that healed people, that was walking around and was preaching a message there where people thought, yo, this person is gonna save us, and suddenly he's hanging on the cross, and there's such a disappointment that he cannot save himself. You know, now imagine a few days later trying to tell some people, you know, believe in this story. You know, people at that time, I think, would have said, you know, yo, this is a bit, you know, it was even harder to believe then than it is now, almost, I would almost say. But even with all of that, you know, there was opposition. The apostles go out, and then you have kings and emperors and armies and everything trying to get that story to go away. And yet hundreds and thousands of people come and even give their lives for that. You know, they are thrown in front of wild animals, and yet they believe that story. And that is what is so amazing, you know, that one thinks, how could they have believed that story? You know, and I think this is where I think it comes to this, the thing that it's not about what I say about that. It's about what God does in your life. You know, when you hear this foolish story, to say that somebody dies on a cross for you and that your sins can be forgiven and you can have eternal life, it is not that particular message as such. It's actually the work that happens in your life. You know, and it's and we sang about it this morning, you know, that it's that change that happens in your life and that makes you just stand in awe. You know, that you suddenly you look at this and you say, how can this be? You know, I've often wondered, just think about it, you know, the creator of the universe, you know, that still keeps everything in its place. You know, you've got this, you know, it just amazes me always to think about, you've got the world floating through space. And we're worried about 3 degrees or something, you know, the atmosphere getting, you know, hotter by global warming, 3 degrees, and everything will die and everybody, you know. Yet, you know, God keeps everything in its place as we float through this universe. And he, you know, just the design of every small thing. You know, look at a butterfly or anything like that. And you will, you know, we are just, we must be amazed at it and say, surely that God goes and dies on the cross for us. You know, and, it's, and in verse 21 it says, for since the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. We hear a lot of, you know, maybe things, how things outside there were created, or not created, were formed or through evolution or something, you know, and that, you know, a lot of us in this world would rather believe than that God came down and died for us on a cross. You know, it's the wisdom of this world is actually foolishness in God's sight. And I think we must, if we can just grasp what happened on this cross, I think we will, we go down on our knees. We will, you know, we will not ask for a miracle, because that is a miracle in itself, you know. And as absurd and ridiculous as people, you know, you maybe want to, you tell somebody about this, you might feel, am I actually getting through? Am I convincing enough? Well, I think this little verse here that I read says, well, don't come with words of wisdom. Don't come with your words of wisdom, of human wisdom, to try and, you know, explain it. The cross itself will do the work in people's hearts. You know, and in verse 22, it says, Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. And I think preaching Christ crucified and risen again is really what our message is, and what we should continue to do, because that is what the gospel is asking us to do. You know, preaching Christ crucified and risen again is really what will change people's hearts. It's still today, many people look for miracles. They say, no, give us a miracle, then I will believe. You know, give me some really good convincing argument. You know, I've recently, I'm a person that likes analytical thing. That's why this is a bit hard. It was, you know, even explaining it here this morning, you know, I'm a person that I'm pretty analytical, and when I study something, for instance, I need to understand it exactly. You know, how and why and this, and that's why I actually liked this book. We had it from the in the Bible school, you know. Just another end. You know, the Case for Christ, it's a investigative journalist with a legal background, you know, saying that he was trying to, you know, look at the death and the resurrection and amongst other things of Jesus Christ, and trying to, You know, as he did always with criminal cases, looking for this little bit of evidence and looking for this little bit of evidence, trying to find the evidence that Christ actually lived, that he actually died, that he actually rose again. And I found it quite fascinating, you know, reading it, because I, you know, it's nice to kind of see, here I've got another little bit of argument, you know, to, but you know, when you, at the end of the day, you read this book, and it's a blessing that it was for this particular person, and he came to know Christ through this investigation, and I'm sure it blesses a lot of other people as well. But at the end of the day, this book is not what's going to convince you. You know, it's that book there, you know, that unless you believe that book, and what is in that book that says Christ was crucified, risen again, and now that, and us, you know, believing the incredible story, that will save us. You know, you know, I like this book, but I'm saying not this book, you know. But it's that simple story, and you know, it will, our walk with Christ will remain dry and without joy, and that is what I also want to just quickly touch on. You know, so often we as Christians, you know, we get all, you know, we always have to look down and be a bit somber, and you know, but the joy of our salvation. Now, once you grab this, what happened at that cross there, and you believe, just believe it, because if we don't believe that, then we can put that book away, because everything else in it really turns around that event, you know. And I was just thinking about this and going through this. It just overwhelms you when you suddenly say, but, you know, yes, this is really what it's all about. This is really what my salvation is about, and I should be full of joy. You know, having the joy of our salvation, we read that if Christ in us, you know, it's a hope of glory, and you know, the joy of our salvation is something that we should enjoy. We should enjoy our salvation. You know, the Christian life is not something that we should. This is difficult. You know, if it's difficult, then let us just turn to that cross. You know, let's turn to the cross and look at that cross and understand what happened there, and it will just, you will indeed, as we're saying there, you know, stand in awe of Jesus Christ and what was done on the cross. You know, there's really not too much more I can say about the cross of Christ, and I wanted to maybe just ask you if you want to, you know, the guys, I think our musicians have disappeared now. They all ran away. It would have been good if they were still here, because I thought that we could, you know, play that song one more time, that, you know, at the cross of Christ. Because it really, as I saw this song, I thought, well, I don't have to preach anymore. It's all there. You know, it's really that simple story of the cross of Christ. It is wiser than man's wisdom. It is it's more powerful than any of man's strength, and it's a change that happens in your heart, so much so that suddenly, you know, all the wisdom and all the things that you read in the Word, and suddenly as you see Scripture, as you read Scripture, you see how it all hangs together at that central point of the cross of Christ. It is a foolish story to many in this world, but it is our salvation. You know, and if I just want to close off in prayer, And if there's anybody that wants to, you know, come and have some prayer or pray together, maybe you can come up and pray for me. You know. Oh, we've got Carol is, you know, I always get these little signs, you know, people kind of doing this. And yesterday I was at a little, you know, have our Christmas function of work, you know, and then I have to say something and then somebody like this and so, as I forget things, so Carol is doing the same. But let us just pray, and then I would ask the people that can give out the, because actually that is actually also celebrating the blood that was shed on the cross, you know, and the body of Christ that hang on that cross. And you know, it's just everything turns around that. And as we partake of that, you know, just ponder on the cross of Christ. Let's pray. Oh Lord Jesus, we are privileged, Lord, to be in your presence this morning. And we know that you do the work. Holy Spirit, you alone can convince. You know, I can't convince here this morning, Lord. But you do the work, the miracle work of salvation, and that's why it is a miracle, Lord. And we are thankful that you came, and that we have your word, Lord, that is a lamp to us, it's a light to our path. And we pray, Lord, that we will not turn, Lord, away from this cross, and we will continue to preach the cross of Jesus Christ, the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, as being the thing that has changed our lives. And Lord, we know that as we go, even from this place this morning, Lord, we can trust in that cross and know that we have eternal life. We have, even here on earth, Lord, the joy of our life. We can enjoy life. We can have a joyful time here on earth, Lord, and look forward to eternity because of what is accomplished by the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, and as we partake of this grape juice and take this bread, Lord, we want to remember the body that you gave to die on the cross, and particularly the blood that was shed that washes away our sin, Lord. And we know that this message is what you came down for, Lord. You came to take away our sin, and we thank you for that, Lord. And we just want to pray your blessing over these symbols, really, that we are partaking of this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. See.